Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy! Light him up, Colin!
Well, it's a Friday edition of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez behind the glass today. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, December the 5th, 2025. A lot of things to do today. You had Thursday Night Football last night, Cowboys-Lions. You got Conference Championship weekend tomorrow and tonight, I guess, with the American and the Sun Belt, James Madison taking on Troy. That's 8 and 9:30, so stay tuned for that. On top of that, you got good college basketball, great NFL on Sunday. It's a great weekend. And on top of that, you had the World Cup draw on Fox earlier today, which started at 12. You know, what's the funny part is, it started at, I think, like 11:30 or 12, where they did the red carpet. They're doing this. It was a big award ceremony. It's like the Oscars. They did about 45 minutes of nonsense, and then they had all the world leaders come out and select the ball that had, you know, where they take out the country name. And shocker, the Canadian guy, I didn't realize that Trudeau was out. That's news to me.
Prime Minister.
Yeah, Prime Minister. Trudeau's out. I didn't realize that. So that he selected Canada, the Mexican president selected Mexico, and then Donald Trump selected the United States. And they did a whole thing on that. They went to commercial, then they went to the studio desk to break it down, even though there was nothing to break down. And then they had Kevin Hart, another concert, back to Kevin Hart, another concert, and then they did the group.
So Damian Perez is our producer here at the City Place Studios, downtown West Palm Beach. Damian is very much so in the know on world football, just like me. Clearly, Colin has never watched a FIFA event before.
Hold on.
Colin, it's a spectacle.
This was nonsense. This was a load of crap. Select the teams, please.
Donald Trump won the Peace Award as well, the first of its kind. I mean, it was a whole spectacle.
It was a waste. Utter waste of time. Five different concerts. You have a studio breakdown. It's funny. They had the United States, Canada, and Mexico get their respective groups and nothing else. We knew they were pot one. We knew they were going to be in their own groups. And they were breaking it down in the studio desk. Guys, what are we breaking down? There's nothing to talk about.
What, you didn't want to hear the great Thierry Henry break down United States, Mexican, and Canadian soccer, Kyle? Listen, you're an Arsenal fan. That's one of your goats, Thierry Henry.
My Gunners.
Yeah, he's arguably one of their best players
ever.
So a
couple things we got to get into. Number one, to put things into perspective, the United States have their official group, Group D. United States, Paraguay, Australia. Then they have one of the final qualifying winners, which is likely going to be Turkey.
Turkey, you got Romania, Slovakia. I think any of those teams will probably be the second team within it. I am definitely disrespecting Paraguay a bit, definitely disrespecting Australia. But if Turkey comes out like how I think they are, by the way, Damian, remember Turkey kicked our butt in a friendly about 2 months ago. Granted, we weren't full strength. It's going to be the United States and probably the winner of that UEFA.
So one thing we like, I'll ask the questions. We like this grouping for the United States. This is an A-plus grouping.
A-plus group, and Damian, I'm going to take it a step further. The United States needs to win this group. Like, obviously, the top two teams advance. There are 32 teams in the knockout.
Expanded this year.
It's going to be very hard not to make the... But Damian, as a diehard United States men's national team, I want to own this group.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I want to own this group.
To your point, I think if you pull up Hard Rock Bet, and if the odds are there, I think the USA would be the clear favorites.
Right. So a couple things to establish. World Cup's going to be in the United States or in the continental North America next summer. And so that means Mexico has a couple different host locations. They have Monterrey, Guadalajara, and Mexico City. You have Vancouver. You have Toronto. You have a number of different spots, and then all throughout the United States. So this year, because there's so many host cities, they expanded the World Cup. It used to be 32 teams. It's now 48 teams. It used to be 16 in that initial knockout stage. It is now going to be 32. So it's going to be 12 different groups from A through L. Top two teams in each group are going to move on. And then eight of the 12 groupings, the third place teams, the top eight of the 12 will move on to the knockout stage as well. Yep. And that's 16 teams get eliminated after the group stage.
Absolutely. And I think as far as the actual groups, Damian, the Mickey Mouse groups, a.k.a. the groups that are going to be very easy for, you know, the said pot one teams, Group A with Mexico, Group D with the United States, and then Group J. I mean, geez, do they want Lionel Messi in the knockout round? That.
So that's Argentina, Algeria, Austria, and Jordan.
Yeah, that's by far the biggest difference.
They will not lose. And granted, you know, Damian's really hooked into CONMEBOL soccer, him being an Uruguayo fan. Argentina's the best team in the world. I mean, it's not even close. They're the world number one, and it's not even close. But Algeria, Austria, and Jordan is a disgrace of a group. Austria's decent. They'll be the second team out of there, but it's a disgrace of a group.
So they'll lose 3-0 to Argentina,
correct,
though.
But they'll make the knockout
That grouping will not have a third-place team move on.
God, no.
Group B is not that good either, right? With Switzerland, Canada, Qatar, because Canada is that pot one team, and they almost stink up the group a little bit because they're not worthy.
And Damien, keep in mind, one of Canada's best players, Alphonso Davies, he's been dealing with an injury for Bayern Munich all year. Jonathan David isn't having the season that he, I think, would like to have at Juventus, only scoring a couple times in 18 fixtures. But at the same time, Italy and Switzerland, that's my best guess. Now, Colin, keep in mind, as an Italian soccer fan, Italy has to qualify.
They have to qualify.
And also, the match number one, I'm not worried about, but if they win match number one, like how I think they are in the qualification process, they have to go at Wales.
Yeah,
that's a tough fixture.
They're in a play-in situation.
Has Wales qualified before?
Oh, yeah. Dude, they had Gareth Bale, one of the best, you know,
Northern Ireland was in their first qualification year opportunity, correct?
Correct.
Northern Ireland's never qualified before.
Will Giggs on fire. Your defense is terrified.
Was I don't think they have. I think Ireland has, but not Northern Ireland.
Is it the song? Isn't that off of the Northern Ireland player, Will Griggs? Am I wrong on that? We'll search that. Regardless.
I'm pretty sure, that Northern Ireland, this would be their first go around if they qualify.
I thought they were in. Maybe that's the actual Republic of Ireland. But regardless, Colin, I think in Group B, Italy and Switzerland, I see Canada being the only pot one team not going to the knockout stage.
Especially, you think they'll get eliminated from this group?
Dude, Switzerland is solid. Switzerland's a
Qatar
good...
Qatar stinks.
That's a free 3-0 win. But the teams of Italy and Switzerland, dude, don't sleep on Switzerland. They played well in the European Cup. They played well in all that. I'm telling you, I think Canada is probably the team that's the pot one team not to make it. So that's an interesting group. I am begging my Italians to make it. Colin, if the Italians don't make it, it'll be their third straight World Cup that they've missed.
All right, call me if I'm wrong. Group G, Belgium, Egypt, Iran, and New Zealand. That is Fox Sports app, no TV coverage. That group stinks.
Now,
there is nothing interesting in that
Colin,
group.
Belgium is Penn State. Belgium is James Franklin.
That's
never
a perfect
won a,
comparison.
Never won a big fixture. They never won anything with Eden Hazard in the early 2000s. They've wasted Kevin De Bruyne's career and Romelu Lukaku.
They got great young
players in Jeremy Doku and company. But Belgium is going to come out of that group because of how bad it is. Listen, I wouldn't sleep on Iran. They dig in. Remember, the United States played Iran in Qatar, and it took a pulley goat miracle.
I remember that game.
Egypt's another one. Well, they got Mohamed Salah. They got Marmoush.
Yeah, and Marmoush is solid. Plays for Manchester City. Salah's having a stinker in Liverpool this year, but did he win Ballon d'Or last year? I believe he did. Regardless if he didn't. Egypt, they never seem to put it together come World Cup. That's why I'm out on
that. Never been a threat.
They never have put it together in a World Cup. I see Belgium and Iran coming out of that group.
Morocco's a team out of Africa.
Solid. The best AFCON team. I think
they're a really good team.
They're in Group C with Brazil, Haiti, Morocco, and then Scotland, who's a dangerous pot three team.
In my opinion, the three hardest groups, Group L, Group C, I disagree on it, but people say Group I. People are waxing poetically about Group I. I think L and C are significantly harder.
So Group L is England, Croatia. Croatia was the number 10, should have been a pot one team, but
correct,
because Canada and Mexico and the United States automatically qualify, Croatia gets bumped down.
Final four teams of the last World Cup, Croatia.
And they're always a good World Cup team.
Correct.
So England, who obviously got the last grouping stage out of the pot one teams, one of the top ranked teams, they got Croatia, they got Ghana and Panama. And then, as you mentioned, Group C, which is Brazil, which is always going to be a formidable opponent.
I'm a fair-weather Brazil fan.
Right.
Love that team.
And then Morocco, Scotland, who's going to be a dangerous
solid
team, as everybody's telling
me. How about that? You saw how they got in to Damian Perez with the game-winning goal at the death. Former United reject Scott McTominay, who's playing for Napoli.
I did see that play.
Yeah. McTominay has been unbelievable since he went over to the Italian league.
All right, and then Haiti was that last team. And then you said Group I, which you're not high on, Damian.
Not very much so.
Damian,
honestly think that's the hardest group.
France, Senegal, Norway. Norway was a pot three. Everybody called them the bracket buster.
I'm not buying Norway.
Norway has one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, Haaland, right?
Yeah, Haaland.
They got Haaland. They got Martin Odegaard. They got Sørloth. They got a lot of players. Talk about a team that's never put it together in a World Cup. Usually they don't get out of the qualifications.
But they'll be annoying.
We'll see. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think Haaland is great.
And Senegal is usually pretty good. Yeah. Senegal's got a ton of talent.
That's probably one of the best African teams.
A French-speaking African country playing the French, too.
The three best out of AFCON, in my opinion, Morocco, Ghana, and Senegal.
Yep.
I probably would put Ghana over Senegal, but people disagree with me on that, Kyle. I think France runs away with that. The matchup, or rather the play-in of, I believe it's Syria, Iraq, and another admittedly, that they're going to finish dead last. They'll finish dead last.
But this is going to be that's probably going to be a three-bid group.
I like I said, I got to see it to believe it with Norway. I know they had they set records, Colin, in the UEFA qualification. I got to see it to believe it, Dame.
Do you guys like the fact that the World Cup has expanded it to 48 teams and then therefore 32 in the knockout stage?
Not really, to be honest.
Yeah, it takes a lot away.
It's just one extra round in the knockout stage. Keep that in mind.
And it's one extra game for everybody. Damien, I don't want to speak for you, but I've been watching the World Cup closely since about 2002.
Yeah.
This is way too many teams, dude. I think it's way too many. Now, granted, I'm an Italian football fan.
It's as many host cities as the World
Cup's
ever
Damien,
seen.
If Italy does not make it this year,
that'd be a tragedy.
I am throwing my hands up. Throwing my hands up at the Italian Federation. I mean, it would be an absolute disgrace to not see the Italians
in
the U.S. Three in a row. And it's all because, Colin, do you know why I hate Norway so much and why I'm not buying them? Is because Italy was in their UEFA group. And that's why Italy doesn't have a for sure spot, is because of, you know, Haaland and company scoring 9 goals in every single godforsaken game that they played. I'm not buying them.
Regardless. I'm in on Norway. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too. I would watch out with Norway.
And France is always going to be a great World Cup.
You got to realize, I'm a Manchester United man. I can't root for Haaland.
France is one of the favorites for sure.
I can't do Haaland.
Now, in terms of some other groups that we got to talk about.
France is unreal.
What do we think about Group H? That's Spain, Cabo Verde, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay.
Damien, your Uruguay show, I'll let you speak on this.
This should be Spain and Uruguay.
Just that. No,
yeah,
not a three-bid group. Remember, 8 of the 12. You got to find 4 where there's not going to be a third team out of
that. Saudi Arabia would have to tie or beat Spain or Uruguay, and that would be very tough.
Keep in mind, Saudi Arabia beat Argentina in their first fixture in the World Cup in Qatar.
Oh, that's right. I remember that game.
They beat Argentina.
I remember that game.
In the group stage, and then Argentina continued to win every game. But I'm with Damien. This is Spain and Uruguay show.
What about Netherlands and Japan? Is underrated? Yes,
they
or
are
no?
Very underrated. Very underrated. They play together.
They're a really good team.
They beat Germany in the last World Cup in the knockout stage.
Do all those guys play in European leagues or do they play in Asian leagues?
A lot of them do.
Okay.
A lot of them play in their own leagues, though.
They play in Asian leagues.
But there are about 3 to 4 players in that 11 that play in La Liga, Prem.
In the top leagues in the world.
Correct. It's similar to the United States. The United States has people who play overseas, but they also have a lot of good talent that plays in the MLS.
It's all about having the money to keep players there.
Now, boys, can I talk about Netherlands a bit?
Japan's a proud country. Too. It's hard to pry those guys away.
I think Netherlands, Damien, they're going to get out because to Colin's point, everybody gets out.
Now, this is Group F, Netherlands, Japan, Tunisia, and then a winner.
I see Netherlands taking a step back. Virgil van Dijk's older. Memphis Depay is older. A lot of their players, Javi Simmons isn't in form right now
Neither
for Tottenham.
Got
so like, I you know, this is a team that usually gets to the Final Four, at least the Elite Eight. I can see them taking a step back once we get to the knockout stage. I'm interested to see how they come together because they're an older bunch now.
Yep, and they had that classic against Argentina in the last World Cup where Argentina defeated them in penalties.
And a lot of people were saying the fix was in on that game.
All the United States games will be in L.A. and Seattle. The other Group D games will be in Vancouver, or those West Coast cities, San Francisco. Do you like that?
Damien, I personally had an issue with it because I'm an East Coaster. You know, technically Ohio, growing up in Cleveland, East Coaster.
You know, most of the country is East Coast.
And that's but they requested it. Our United States Federation requested it.
I think that's where you have the biggest fan bases. If you look at the LAFC fan base, like they probably have one of the bigger fan bases in the MLS. So
you don't think that the whole country is going to get behind
it?
At that point in the biggest World Cup probably
what
ever.
What time are these games? You know, when I was looking forward to these. Hear me out on this, Colin. I was looking forward to these games being prime time. Like, obviously, you're going to have afternoon
games. Now you're speaking
my
language.
All but, like, I was looking forward to having a couple of fixtures, big fixtures, at 6, 7 o'clock when
we're off.
Yeah,
those will be early.
That will be the case. Remember, Friday the 12th, the USA's first game, L.A. It's going to be USA versus Paraguay. That is June 12th, 2026, Group D, match one at L.A. The Group B will be at Toronto. That's Canada's first game. That'll be in Toronto. That'll be a 2 o'clock game.
Too many times.
That'll be 2 o'clock. The other one will be 5, if I had to guess.
Like, as a world football fan that lives on this side of the hemisphere, I wanted the Europeans to get a little taste of what I have to do. I miss United play every friggin' midweek because it's at 3 o'clock. I miss all these World Cup games because we got jobs.
So you want to do it out of spite?
I do.
Well, Australia's going to get
here.
Screwed.
It's here this year.
Australia's going to get
screwed.
Yeah,
but the president's European no at the
what.
End of the
Colin,
day.
And they get screwed no matter what.
Yeah, right.
Them and New Zealand have always gotten screwed with all these pairings, whatever. But at the same time, Dame, you know they're going to have these fixtures early on in the day.
The United States will be the biggest and best time slot on Fox every single week.
I will promise you
that right now.
But all I'm saying is I want England at 6 o'clock. And listen, I love my English brothers, okay? They're a great ally to the States. And I love English Premier League.
Give them a taste of their medicine.
But yeah. 6 o'clock.
Well, I'll tell you where they're going to play. I'll tell you where England's going to play. How about this? Group L, which is England's group. They're New York and Philadelphia. They're MetLife and Philly.
It'll be 2 o'clock start.
Right, and then Boston and Toronto. So there are a bunch of East Coast cities. There's going to be a lot of English there. So that's That's going to travel great. And a lot of Croatians will travel for that. That'll be a great environment.
The best part about tournaments like this, dude, do you remember the Euros in Germany? How great it was and how great of an atmosphere. Remember the guy with the saxophone going viral?
Yeah.
Like, I want those scenes.
The fan bases.
Yes, I can't wait to get the English over here. They're a great time.
To Colin's point, every team will be like in a hub in a sense. So all the fans will kind of culminate in that area and it'll be just a bunch of English people.
So
Where was it? MetLife? Around MetLife in New York.
So speaking of England, Colin, they are the biggest like doomsday condescending fans you ever meet. And that's with every team, with the Prem, with the Three Lions. That's what they call their football club, the Three Lions. My brother and I were big listeners of this station called Talk Sport. Dude, the sky is falling with the group that they got, by the way. Group L. Sky is falling.
Group L winner will be playing in Atlanta, too, in the first round of the knockout stage. They also got Toronto and Dallas. So I doubt they're going to put England in Dallas. I'd bet money that they'd either put England in Boston in their first match or Toronto. I'd be surprised if they went Dallas, but, you know, it's a big city. I could see that, but that's interesting.
Now, Dame, Group E. Germany low-key got a really Mickey Mouse group as well. This is flown under the radar for me. Ecuador solid. You know, Caicedo and company. Caicedo, one of the best holding midfielders
in all
the world.
That's a tough team to play against.
But at the same time, Curaçao and Ivory Coast. Like, Ivory Coast, Drogba ain't walking through that door, brother.
And Cote d'Ivoire stinks.
That's Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Didier Drogba, one of the best strikers in Premier League history for Chelsea. He ain't walking through that door, brother. Right. Wilfred Zaha is about 40 years old playing for Charlotte. All right? So, like, you know, and Curaçao, Collins, the smallest country to ever make the World Cup. So give them a little credit. But if Germany struggles in that group, that'd be a disgrace. That'd be an absolute disgrace.
So the one thing I don't like about this, to talking about the expansion, not a lot of teams get eliminated.
Yeah, 16, that's why we don't like it.
16 out of 48 get eliminated in the group
stage. That's why we don't like it.
You're in the group stage for 2 weeks.
It takes a lot of... That's why when I said it takes a lot away, that's what it takes away.
They sacrifice the group stage for an extra round of knockout.
Right, that's
which
why
we will say this is great once we get there, but for the group stage, you're thinking, all right, well, you could survive a bad loss and get away with it.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I think it's just too... There's too many teams. Like, the knockout stage used to mean something. Listen to me. It's the first year that it's happening. But being one of the 16 teams used to mean something. Like, the United States, and Damien, you'll back me up on this, we've been a pretty good World Cup team throughout the years. For us to make the knockout stage
meant
is a
so
big
much.
Deal.
Yeah, right? It was
and
huge.
It used to mean a lot to be one of the 16 teams. Now it's just like, you know,
if you're talking about the United States, the goal is not just to make the knockout stage. The goal, you got to advance.
Well, it always has been, and this has been the last two World Cups now. It's been the golden generation with Pulleygoat, with McKinney, with Tyler Adams and company.
And they've always had this World Cup circle.
Right. And it's always been about, you know, my problem is the United States men's national team. And hear me out on this. Let me let me complain a bit. It was about Qatar until it wasn't about Qatar. It was about Copa America until it wasn't about Copa America. Like, we do this every single tournament. It's, oh, it was always about this tournament. But I'm sick of that. Win a damn game and go deep in the knockout stage. Enough of this. That's why you brought
in. No more. We can't push it now.
And Colin, bringing in a big time world football manager like Maurizio Pochettino, and for the first time, Damian, I think in our federation's history, correct me if I'm wrong here, we brought in a non-United States man to coach the team. I think that shows you how important it is for the United States to have success and to not let the, quote, golden generation go to waste and just make the round of 32 and lose to a team.
Group D is interesting. That's the United States' group. Group D is interesting because the winner of that group in the first round of the knockout stage playing at Levi's Stadium in San Francisco. And Santa Clara, I should say.
And Group D
they're living exclusively on the West Coast.
And Group D is, to Colin's credit, the United States group.
They're exclusively on the West Coast.
I guess I'm one of the only ones in the country that don't like that, but whatever.
And a couple interesting things, Damon, I want to get your reactions to. So they come out with the full schedule tomorrow. Of terms of where everybody plays, you know where United States, you know where Canada, you know where Mexico are going to play. Outside of that, you don't know who's playing when and what time where. You know the locations and what day and what stadium and what group. So I went through it a little bit because I like this stuff. This is travel schedules. The Portugal's group, right? Ronaldo's going to be 41 years old by the time we get to the next World Cup. I mean, to the upcoming World Cup. We're not going to see him again.
This is the last one.
This is it. So you're going to see Ronaldo, who, by the way, is in Group K. And Group K is in Guadalajara, Monterrey, and Houston. Basically for the entirety of the group stage.
So Mexico and Texas.
Right. And then the Group K winner is in Kansas City. So if that's Portugal, for example, they're going to be playing that first knockout stage in New York City. Now, I'll float you this one. Now, Argentina is another one.
Group J.
Everybody's wondering where Argentina is going to play. Argentina, the winners... I'll get to the winners in a second. But where they do play their group stage is Kansas City and Dallas and San Francisco.
I'm shocked by that.
So you're not going to get... Remember, they can't determine where Argentina is going to be. But where does Group J winner play? Miami.
Hard Rock.
So that means that first knockout stage, let's assume that Argentina does win. You're going to see Messi and the Group H runner-up, which could be, you know, Uruguayo.
Yep.
You could see them play Argentina... Hard Rock in that first knockout.
With that knowledge, any hope that Uruguayo could win the group? Can you guys go toe to toe with Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams and
Spain? Because you want to avoid Argentina. That's going to be that first round.
But I also want to see where, because the third place teams comes into play. Does that necessarily mean that the winner of the groups don't play against third place teams?
The guys who get to deal with the third place. Group K winner deals with the third place team. That could be Portugal. Group B Colombia. Winner would deal with a third place team. A third place
you
team
said
as
B,
well.
Kyle,
group,
B.
Group B winner.
Okay.
So that means that's a valuable grouping because you got a takeable pot one in Canada, and you also get a third place team in the knockout stage.
Guys, Italy needs to get in. I'm about to freak out over here if Italy doesn't get in. All right. Anyway, keep going.
The other ones that get a third place team, the Group E winner. Gets a third place team that could be Germany. And on top of that, Group I and Group A both get third place teams. So that could be France and Mexico.
Yeah, Norway. You get your kids' Norway's, you know, Group I as
well.
So
Group H is in a difficult spot because you got to deal with Argentina. It might be the best team of the entire tournament. You might have to deal with them first round of that knockout stage.
Yep.
But the good thing is, from a Uruguay perspective, we play Argentina a lot. We know Argentina. They know us. We've actually beat them in Argentina in semifinals. Uruguay and Argentina, as much as Uruguay doesn't want to see Argentina, I know Argentina doesn't want to see Uruguay either.
Yeah, no, you're dead right on there. And the atmosphere around that stadium is going to be electric.
Yeah.
That'll be an electric atmosphere. My buddies and I have a saying, boys, that stadium's going to be rocking.
Group D also, United States, has a third place team. So United States, if they win that grouping, not only you get an easy grouping, you get a third place team in the first round of the knockout.
Yep.
That's huge.
Argentina is one of the rare groupings that does not have a third place team. I mean, there's only four that don't get third place teams in that first round.
You guys want the conspiracy theory? You want the conspiracy theory for this World Cup? They're saying Ronaldo bent the knee. They're saying he went to the Oval Office, bent the knee to Donald Trump, and he's going to get the same treatment that Messi got in Qatar. And for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, let's just say if you didn't watch any of the 2022 World Cup, there are a lot of favorable calls, to say the least, that went Argentina's way.
I don't
so
think
that's,
that...
So that's the conspiracy
now,
theory.
Now, Qatar is a corrupt country
correct.
Who corrupted their way to hosting the World Cup.
Correct.
And it's one of the more, I don't want to say the word, I'll say it, blood money type of tournaments that we've seen in some remember.
You're not
right,
wrong.
Right or right. So
you're,
right.
You're not wrong. But that's at the same the time, United the guy, States. Let's put it this way. The man in charge of Qatar said it would be nice to see Lionel Messi on the stage here in the Middle East.
But what Portugal has happened? A tough matchup in that second round. Wouldn't they play the, depending on the results, but wouldn't they play Group I?
Colin's here for the logistics.
Which is
one
France.
More time. Do that again.
We need who's Portugal.
Say that again.
Who does Group K Group
winner
K
of
play
group
again?
K. Winner group, of Group K.
Winner of Group K. So that would be Portugal's group. The runner up, the winner would get a third place team. It does not announce what group, but it'll
be
a third, place,
third
team.
Place.
Yeah,
that will be a Kansas
but
a, City.
But yeah, the you know
Argentina is one of the rare teams that gets a second.
Does second place,
team.
Play Group I?
Second place of which group? Of K.
Group K. Yeah,
they play the Group L runner up.
Group L.
And Group L is, in my opinion,
that's
the hardest.
Exact,
that's Croatia.
That could be Croatia.
That's England or
That's a tough
Croatia.
Matchup.
Yeah. So yeah. That would be a difficult. That Group K runner-up will be an important spot because if that's Colombia, you're going to have to deal with
yeah,
a pretty good team.
Portugal is not a lock to win that group. Colombia is a
it.
Very good team.
Stop it.
Watch out with Colombia.
Colombia is good. Luis Diaz and company, but I.
They're a good team. That's I'm, a team nobody wants
you're
to
talking,
play right
you're
now.
Talking about the UEFA
And they're
Nation
going to have Colombia. The thing with Colombia. Their fans travel. Their fans will yeah. take over cities. Now, they will take over stadiums. Talk about rocking. Those stadiums will be rocking.
Can you explain to the audience why I like Portugal so much, Damian?
I mean, it's Ronaldo. You're a Ronaldo
it's
fan.
It's my goat. And
this
listen.
This is his last dance, your last
is.
Hope.
It is. And that's why, like, I've been, you know, that's what they said. Ronaldo bent the knee. He bent the knee of the United States, and he, you know, it's going to happen.
How about
that's
this?
That's a deep dive conspiracy for
How about
you.
This? The Group C runner-up, which is one of the best groups of the entire World Cup, which is Brazil, Morocco, Scotland, and Haiti. The runner-up of that group has to deal with the winner in the first round, the winner of Group F.
And Group F,
which is
Netherlands,
Japan. Yeah, God, dude.
That would be it. That'd be one of the better matches of the entire
correct.
Round of 32.
Correct. And Dame, Brazil, you know their expectations.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, win. With... And it's that simple, and they haven't done it. They didn't do it at Copa America. And the lasting image, Colin, that we have in 2022 was Bruno Guimarães crying after he missed the penalty
and
in the knockout stage.
In Brazil,
correct.
Germany 7-2.
Yeah, Neymar, you know, famously, when Neymar put the team on his back and they still weren't able to win anything.
Well, he didn't play that game. He hurt his back against Colombia. But
right.
yes, that World Cup, he
but
did
he
put
was
the team in
unbelievable
back.
In
Up
that
until
World
that point,
Cup when
yeah.
he played. So, like, this, Colin, this is a big World Cup for Brazil. It's a, because, and also, Copa America means a lot to those teams. And for those of you that don't know what Copa America is, it's CONMEBOL teams competing against each other.
That was
now,
played here.
Now they added CONCACAF teams, which is our United States Federation.
Group J and H, which is Argentina's group and Spain's group, the winner plays the runner up. And of the other group, the winner plays the other runner-up. Does that make sense? So the one plays the one of H plays the two of J, and the one of J plays the two of H, right? And it's the same thing with the Netherlands and Brazil. So Group C and Group F also flip-flop. So that means the winner of Group C, let's say Brazil, plays the number two of Group F, let's say Japan, and the winner of Group F, Netherlands, would play the number two of Group C,
now,
let's throw out there Morocco. Those would be the best matches of that round of 32.
Yeah. Run by me again, J and H, which you just said.
So J and H would, so the winner of Group H, let's throw out there Spain.
Yep.
That first round in the knockout stage would be against the two of Group J.
Okay, so
that
Austria,
would be
Algeria,
easy,
or Jordan.
An yeah, easy game.
It would be.
So that's an important group to win because you get an easy game as a runner.
Damian, are we
and
sleeping?
You avoid Argentina.
Can
that's
I ask
the big
you something?
One too.
Are we
you avoid Argentina and you get an easy second place.
Are we sleeping on Austria?
No.
Okay.
No.
They didn't do too bad in the Euros.
And
no.
That's
the
yes.
only reason I ask.
And then the winner of Group J, Argentina, would play that number two of Group H. So that you're... Of that first knock group stage, the one you're going to be looking at is Spain, Uruguay.
And you know what?
That
game
would be one of the
that's
biggest.
That's the
ones.
Last game of the group too.
Uruguay. Is that confirmed?
Yep, Uruguay does not play Spain until the last game.
Is that how they do that? The one plays the two at the final game.
I believe.
Because they'll give the number one, the number three, or number four to
right.
open things up. Okay, so that last game, let's figure that out. Group H, that last game in the group stage, that final game. One of the more final games, I should say, One of them would be in Houston, and the other one would be in Guadalajara, Friday, June 26th. Match 65 and 66 are the last two games in Group H.
Mm. Yep.
So one of those will be Spain-Uruguay show, and basically the loser has to deal with Argentina.
Let me ask you guys this.
If it all goes to plan.
If you're these teams that are coming on over from the other side of the hemisphere, do you want to play in the States, or would you rather play in Mexico or
Canada?
I'd rather
play where the best hospitality is, yeah.
It's probably the States, too.
I would probably want to play in the Eastern Seaboard in the best accommodation possible.
Mexico plays all their friendlies in USA for that reason,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Hospitality is just a little better.
Right.
And you can price the ticket higher, too. That's another one.
I'll say this. That Monterrey Stadium is unbelievable. Have you seen it?
Oh, they got great infrastructure
in
Mexico.
The stadium in Monterrey is
right.
That's Azteca, that's like a...
Dude, it's unreal. Yeah. Unreal.
I imagine if you're a team, being in that Toronto, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, you'd like that. You would get a kick out of that because you don't have
that's
to get...
That's why you have England there.
You don't have to get on a plane. Now, I went through
got
this.
Similar
most
weather,
Most of
too.
These groups are in different spots in terms of regionally located. You know, Toronto will be next to Boston. Yep. That's where you play a group. There's only one where Toronto and Dallas. That's probably the largest flight you'll take at the group stage is somebody going from Dallas to Toronto.
Yep.
How about that? There's your travel schedule.
Listen, and
that's
there's
a long flight.
And there's your breakdown, too, of the work. I'll tell you what, I am juiced up. The fact that Colin is into it now, I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely love it.
I get into it now. I don't know anything about the teams, really.
Sorry.
I know the usual suspects,
we'll
and I know, I know who's good World Cup teams because I watch every World Cup.
Let's put it this way. People are going to be, like myself, are rooting for Ronaldo to win it. Belgium is the Penn State. The United States needs to do something in the knockout round. Colin, England... Who the hell would we compare England to? They haven't won a World Cup since the 60s. But, Colin, they have the best...
UF.
I don't... Like, they have the best players in the best league. I don't think England is comparable to anybody. I really don't. Let's put it this way, Colin. The Premier League is the best league in the world, and they arguably have the best team every year. They get deep. They just don't win the damn thing.
The Big Ten?
The Big Ten has two champions the last 2 years. They're about to have their third in Ohio State.
Don't set them off.
Don't get me going on that. But listen,
England's a little bit like
England,
the Big
Colin,
Ten.
England,
they got a great league. A lot of good players come out of
England,
it.
England, no.
They never get anything done.
Except, winning the national championship the last 2 years. England is theater. Their fans, their media.
That's what it is.
Absolute theater.
There's
the
so much
Lions.
Extracurricular with England that it kind of gets in the way at times. Like, the pressure's immense for England.
It's on Colin. And it's all self-inflicted. On from the English media and from their fans and their hosts.
Similar
their
to
country.
Mexico. Yeah. Mexico has that same problem.
And Colin, France is probably every single... France is Ohio State. They got the best team every single year. Are they going to get in their own way? I love it. I absolutely love it. Kylian Mbappe, I think, is going to have a statement again. Mbappe, one of the youngest players to lead a team to a World Cup back in 2018. Going to be absolute theater. Absolutely. And then you got the pesky Uruguay show, Damien.
Best news, to finish it, to put a cap on this, is we went through all the Group J, who's winning what group, and who could potentially play in the biggest game. The biggest game, as we said, of that knockout stage in that round of 32 would be whoever Argentina plays, whether that be Spain or Uruguay show.
Mm-hmm.
That is at Miami. That is the only game that Miami has in that round of 32 group stage. They haven't announced which one's going to be where after that. So, number one, you're going to see Messi there.
And they'll
and
probably
two,
stay there.
You're going to have a huge matchup. That's going to be the biggest game of the round of 32. What day is it? Friday, July 3rd of 2026.
Wow.
That would be a huge weekend in the United States.
We need boys. Brian Rowitz, our content director, if you're listening.
We're not getting tickets to that.
We need to be there. We got to find a way.
They're saying no.
Can we be outside the stadium?
We could probably do that. They'll probably give us parking lot standing room only.
We need to be there. We need
standing room only.
That is, especially if Uruguay shows there.
That's a huge matchup.
That's comeable versus in the World Cup. That is unbelievable. It's like USA facing off against Mexico. For all my United States fans out there, it's like USA facing off against Mexico in the knockout.
And the other games that day are Group K winner versus the third place, which would be the Portugal games. That means you have Messi and Ronaldo on Fox back-to-back in knockout stages in Kansas City and Miami. And then Group D runner-up for Group G runner-up. If I've seen a 12 o'clock kick, that I found one.
Wait, Group G and Group who, Kyle?
Group D runner-up and Group G.
All right, so that would be...
That'd be the USA runner-up.
Yep, and Group
G.
Egypt, Iran, or New Zealand.
Oh my God, that is going to be that's going to be the Fox Sports app only. That is not going to be on TV.
Stream only.
That is going to be stream only. But you're going to have Messi and Ronaldo back to back. I'd make a bet that the Messi game will be the night game, and that Ronaldo would be like a 4 o'clock game.
Dude, I would love if that.
That'd be a hell of a day under, in soccer.
It
That'd
would
be a hell of a day.
Football.
Fine. Football today.
Football
for today.
Football.
That'd be a hell of a day. That'd be Messi and Ronaldo if the groups go the way they can. Messi and Ronaldo back to back on Fox on Friday, July 3rd.
That's what the ratings want too,
dude. I'm gonna get a Ronaldo. I'm gonna
those
get,
games will do monster ratings.
I'm gonna get another Ronaldo haircut for the World Cup. My goat.
Are you going with the like the blonde highlights?
I think I might have to do the highlights.
Put a cap on it right now. Winner, Damian. Who's it gonna be in runner up?
If I had a favorite, I would go with Spain.
Don't put math to it. Just figure out.
Argentina.
Spain, Argentina.
Spain over Argentina. So I'll disagree here. Favorite is Argentina. They're the best team in the world.
I think
world.
Argentina wins it all, yeah.
They're the best team in the world, Kyle. They're absolutely unbelievable. Messi's still one of the greatest players in the world. Can't wait to see him in the MLS Cup tomorrow. With that said, I'm going Portugal. I think Ronaldo gets the World Cup. He was in the Oval Office. I'm buying into the hype.
You're going to do a Portugal over Argentina?
Correct. Well, not in the game, but I'm going Portugal.
What type of rating would that do?
Dude.
Portugal, no Argentina? Idea. Oh, you have
billions.
No idea.
That will be...
Colin, that's best case scenario.
That would be the most...
That's best case scenario.
Billions. I mean, billions.
That would be the most watched sporting event billions. In 100 years.
And you know, people are saying Messi clears Ronaldo now because Messi has a World Cup. And that's the big conversation right
Messi
now.
Messi shutting and the then, door and then, Ronaldo's excuse me, face.
So you asked me for my favorite and for my
I
winner.
I was going to say, yeah, who, favorite no, Argent- win over who? And who's your runner-up? So you said Portugal over Argentina?
Yeah, probably. I hope that's
picking with a heart with
that
the
is,
heart right there.
But like you know how these say it's hard to pick a runner up, Colin, because you don't know how it's going to shake out.
You don't have
it's, exactly. It's hard to how it shakes out. I'll give you a favorite. The favorite is Argentina, and I think who wins is Portugal.
Wow,
Portugal. By the way, UEFA Nations champs. They're one of the top teams in the world right now, and have my United goat right now, Bruno Fernandes. Bruno.
It happened in 1980. With a bunch of ragtag college kids defeating the Soviet Union. It's going to happen again in 2026 at MetLife Stadium. United States is going to win the World
then,
Cup.
Dude, what I want you to do, log on to Hard Rock right now and please take that. If you actually believe that, take it on Hard Rock.
All right.
That's what you need to do.
That would be the global game being conquered.
They would hate it,
States.
By the way.
The world would hate that.
England would hate it.
The NFL would hate that.
Germany would hate it.
The world would hate that.
Exactly. They would absolutely hate it, and they would be crying rigged.
Because then you go to the Olympics, too, and the United States dominates once again. Oof, wouldn't like that.
I would love if the U.S. beat England. Listen, you know I love my English brothers. I'm rooting for a United States win over
you
England
never hear
in the knockout
round. You'd never hear the end of it.
If never.
You never hear the end of it.
Never.
Wasn't that the matchup last World Cup?
Well, I remember it was the group stage.
No,
on that
we got smoked. We got smoked like a cigarette against the Dutch. It was the Dutch.
Right, but
Memphis Depay was running rampant.
The United States and England played on the day after Thanksgiving in the Qatar World Cup because it was on Fox 2 o'clock.
It was a draw.
And it was a master game. It was a draw.
And
that's
game,
the one. I,
and
that's
the game
the one
before
I'm thinking
that was South Africa. John Terry and Landon Donovan, they drew it too. It's always a draw between the United States and England when it comes to football.
Right. And that was a huge, and that was on Thanksgiving weekend. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez, the groups are out for the 2026 World Cup. You're going to have a couple big matches down here in Miami. You're going to have a number of different teams playing all throughout the continental North America. You can catch all that on the FIFA website. We'll have coverage of that. And including Inter Miami, you want to see Messi, you get your Messi fever now. Playing tomorrow, too, so keep in mind for that. You can listen to that right here on Deportes Radio and also ESPN 106.3. If you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, the type that like to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control with Anajar and Levine. We'll get into conference championship weekend. There's your World Cup fix. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
I might be too strung out on compliments. Overdose on.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. It's Russo and Rizzo streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. Also on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3. The group stage is out. We got conference championship weekend this weekend. We got good NFL slate on Sunday. You also got the Boca Bowl on the horizon with two of the best group of five teams going head-to-head down in Boca.
Folks, that is the Bush's Bowl, Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. Excuse me. The Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans coming up December 23rd at beautiful Flagler Credit Union Stadium. I mean, over 150 athletes have gone from that field to the pros. So you're going to be seeing some pro players. It's in beautiful Boca Raton. Let's have some fun during the holidays, December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium with the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. Get your tickets now by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That's BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. And maybe if you show up early enough, you can see Colin get dunked in a bunch of beans.
Colin.
Yeah, Colin.
What about you?
I got a flight to catch, brother. I didn't, you know, you signed us up for that. That's you.
That'll be all you, too.
That's you, brother.
You're not doing it without, I'm not
oh,
doing
that's
it without you.
That's you, brother.
All right. Nonetheless.
We'll handle that at the time.
All right. Damian Perez, Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. Having a good time here at the City Place Studios. Got a lot of things to get to, and we also have conference championship weekend coming up. You know what we should do in the meantime is we still got to blitz the book. We still got to get into 5 at 5. We'll do that all in the second hour because we also have Max Britos, the football reporter from the LAFC, MLS, Premier League, knows everything.
He does, and he's currently one of the play-by-play broadcasters on the Apple season pass within the MLS. It's a good get. He knows a lot about world football. He's covered the United States men's national team for a long time. It's going to be great.
We'll get into the top groups and how the United States' path looks with Max Britos at 5:20, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we got a big football weekend, the other American football, on this front. Mike, we got two big games tonight. James Madison, Troy, 7 o'clock on ESPN in the North Texas Tulane in the American 8
Yeah,
o'clock.
For some reason, I thought that this was tomorrow. but regardless, James Madison, I think, hopefully I'm rooting for that because I'm rooting for some anarchy, Colin. I'm rooting for some anarchy in the sense of BYU winning, Duke winning, and the committee, their hand being forced to put in a team like James Madison and to maybe to keep both Notre Dame and Miami out of the playoff. So, yeah, it all starts with James Madison winning tonight. And then you mentioned Tulane and North Texas. You think Tulane has a chance with their head coach out?
Well, I remember I think he's coaching the game, John Summerall.
Is he? They're going to let
and
him
I
coach
believe
the game?
North Texas's coach took the Oklahoma State job.
So two so teams in the exact who don't have any
position.
Yeah.
I have no idea who's going to show
up. And there's obviously a path for both of these teams in Tulane and North Texas
and
to make it.
Jake Retzlaff, who's our guy.
Yeah, former BYU quarterback,
former BYU
now
quarterback.
At Tulane.
Now at Tulane. And then North Texas is Drew Mestemaker, who is one of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's going to follow his coach probably to OK State, but if not, will be one of the top quarterbacks in the portal.
And they've scored 50 points over four
they
times.
They could score. They could score. There's
yeah.
no doubt
and,
about
and
that.
Remember, they lost 63 to about 20 to USF, and that's the only loss that they suffered all season.
You want to take a guess at what that over-under is on point total?
Gosh.
Tulane could score, too.
73.5?
A little high. 66.5.
Okay.
So they're banking on a 34-33 game.
Okay. I was maybe thinking 40s, but regardless, there's going to be a lot of offense in that game.
Absolutely. So, and then you got that, and you got a four-game slate tomorrow of the ranked teams' college football playoff implications. You got the Big 12 Championship opening things up, 12 o'clock on ABC, BYU and Texas Tech. You got Georgia-Alabama at the 4 o'clock slate, and then you got two in the night's cap with Duke, Virginia. I know that's Mike's favorite game, and then Indiana, Ohio State.
Dude,
Indiana, Ohio State is the game I care about the least.
Well,
is
yeah.
that crazy?
You picked Indiana to win, by the way.
Indiana's going to win that game, number one. Number two is, it doesn't mean much in the grand
Heisman.
Scheme of things.
Does the Heisman Trophy not mean anything?
Because I don't think either of those guys deserve the Heisman.
Well, the winner of that game, the
that's
quarterback is going to get
that's
the Heisman.
Not confirmed. It might be right. Jeremiah Love.
We need to make two.
It might be Jeremiah Love.
No chance. We need to make two wagers. Number one, what are you putting on the line if you think Indiana's going to outright win? And number two, what are you putting on the line? Because the quarterback that wins that game is going to win the Heisman
Should
Trophy.
I parlay Indiana with the United States to win the World Cup? And it'll be a six-month bet.
You're a psycho. You're a psycho.
That'd be a heck of
Dude,
a two-legger.
Do you actually believe Indiana's going to win? Like in your heart of hearts? Or are you just doing this to troll me? Like if you believe Indiana's going to win, dude, take their money line on Hard Rock. You'll get juicy odds there right now.
About like plus 170.
No way. Yeah. Dude, that's well into the 200s. Well into the 200s for them to
win.
Are
you forgetting that this team is 12-0?
Undefeated with their great win against Penn State?
Well, hold on.
At the death, who has about plus two recruits now and no head coach?
Plus 160.
I'd still take it. The real spread, it's funny, my cousin, the LSU fan, because naturally you're making, I'm sweating this game out thinking that, you know, the Buckeyes are going to lose. I was telling that to my cousin last night. He goes, Mike, I said, the line's 4.5. He goes, all right, do you want the real line? I go, what's the real line? He goes, 20.5.
Not 20.5.
So that's.
In favor of Indiana?
In favor of Ohio State.
Oh, favor of Ohio State.
Fair enough. You're making me sweat this game out for the second year in a row. I gave you and Jonathan Zaslow.
Here's the best part.
I gave you and Jonathan.
Mike's been begging for a big game. They beat Michigan. It was a good game. And, you know, Michigan, they were
clearly. It was a huge game.
Clearly
outmatched.
Did
you see that
Michigan.
Rating? Did you see that rating?
What'd it do? About 20 million?
Best college football
probably
zone.
High. What'd they do? 18, 16?
Like 18.7.
Yeah, probably a little high.
18.7.
Pretty good.
Hang on. You're Mr. Rating guy.
I didn't see the rating on that one.
And
so
you didn't know? Yeah, you did. You're
well,
just
hold
trolling.
Hold on. No, I didn't.
Okay.
Because you asked me, and I gave a ballpark on what it was. So I am good with ratings. But, I was a little high there.
You're my rating guy.
I ratings and TV schedule guy.
Correct.
That's what we are. And then Mike's the soccer guy. So Mike's got the breakdown of
football. Football guy.
Football for today. Nonetheless, all right. Of the four games tomorrow, let's stay on tomorrow, BYU, Texas Tech, Georgia, Alabama, Indiana, Ohio State, Duke, Virginia, do you think any of these games are going to go awry, not according to plan? As in, are any of these underdogs
I mean,
going
it's the
to
ACC,
win?
Right? The ACC's gone awry all year.
So you think it's going
By the
to
way,
be...
it's four.
You think it's going
that
to be
That line
Duke?
Is four for UVA. How is it that a double-digit spread?
And after they beat them by 17 3 weeks ago, I told you, for that exact reason, it's going to be hard to beat that team because Duke got a gift.
They stink.
They got a dick.
They're
got a gift.
So bad.
But there's something about capitalizing once you get an absolute gift like that.
Dude, that team is so bad. They lost, and I know you hate, like, I think you've condemned me for saying this before. That team lost to Illinois about 30 points. Bielma threw to the sideline the whole game
now,
and
the
won
one
by
thing
30.
Is they got a pretty, they could score, and they got a pretty good quarterback. Darian Mensah is the guy who they spent a lot of money to go get. You got to spend a lot of money to go get him. Five losses, two in conference.
All out of conference.
Two in conference. Two in
all out of
in conference.
Every out of conference game they played, they got smoked.
UConn beat them.
Come on, man. And Bielma threw to the, I know I keep saying it, guy threw to the sideline for 4 hours, won by 30. Luke Altmaier. Come on.
All I'm saying, I agree. I think that Duke game will go awry because I think it's going to be hard to beat that team twice. It's going to be hard to beat that team twice. You get a gift like that, when you get a second life,
yeah,
they're going to take advantage.
Now, let me ask you about the SEC. Where do you lean there? Bama's really controlled that game for 3-4 years.
Let's
now.
Establish one thing.
Okay,
Bama's in win or loss.
Correct.
You agree?
Yeah,
I agree.
They have a lot of wins versus ranked opponents. Listen, the Florida State loss might be the worst out of the 12.
Can they play themselves out with a bad loss, a really bad loss? 2-3 scores.
I think anybody can at that
right.
point.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen.
But it's not going to happen. But, all right, I think the question you want to ask me is, can anybody play themselves out with a bad loss? And I think absolutely. Especially when you have teams like Miami and Notre Dame knocking on the door.
So, the one thing I would say, it's going to be hard to beat that team twice, too. Does Alabama have more to gain from the game? Absolutely. I think Georgia gets
it. Does the winner get the bye no matter what?
Winner gets the
bye.
Even
if it's Bama.
And I would say if Georgia loses, Georgia still gets a home game.
Okay.
Alabama's probably vying for road game or home. Because they got a little bit more to gain, I would actually favor Alabama. Alabama's the only team in the SEC, only team probably in the country that doesn't necessarily blink when they see Georgia. So because of that, I would say because they got more to gain, I would actually lean Alabama. And then as for the BYU-Texas Tech game, I think it'll be a competitive game. I think Texas Tech will win this.
I think Tech rolls.
I don't know about
I
rules.
I think they cover that 12.5.
Part of me thinks Texas is happy if BYU comes in and plays either competitively or not happy if they beat them. But you know what? At least another Big 12 team gets in. That's a little conference, you know, pride they got.
I got them covering the 12.5. I think they win pretty big, Kyle. I'll disagree there.
I would take BYU with 12 points. I would. And then as for Ohio State, if you want my real answer, I do think Ohio State will win by more than 4 points.
Yeah.
But in a perfect world, Ohio State is terrible in the game. And Indiana is able to win.
Speak that to yourself. Saying joined a podcast and mentioned how important it is for the team to win their first Big Ten title since 2020. That's the kind of energy I like out of my quarterback.
He's just saying that. They don't
3,000
really
yards.
They don't really 3,000. Don't ever tell me Heisman and then
3,000 yards.
3,000 yards.
Hear me out.
Don't ever say Heisman and then 3,000.
You didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
3,000 yards. 30 touchdowns compared to 5 interceptions and the best completion percentage in the history of college football.
What is it? What is the number?
Like 90-something.
He completes 90% of his passes?
Correct.
I think that's way too high. Let's fact check that. There's no way.
Shooting from the hip, but he has the highest completion percentage.
Maybe 78. I mean, come on. That's not fair. No way. I'm going to check this right now.
You're dead
wrong. You're dead wrong.
I don't think I'm dead wrong.
78.9. You're close
enough. Well, it's the highest in college football history. So I got to gas up my guy.
Here's the thing.
Got to gas up my guy.
I was looking at Heisman seasons previously with quarterbacks, and just nobody this year just matches up statistically. I know, you know, Brand, they won huge games. He doesn't play in the full game every game. But like, for example, Burrow, Bryce Young, all these guys, they had 50 touchdowns.
I know they did.
So you're trying to sell me, you said 3,000 yards. He's a hair over 3,000 yards. He's 3,065, 30 touchdowns, 5 receptions. That's a good year. That's a good year.
It's a great year, not a good year.
It's a good year.
It's a great year.
It's an okay year.
On an undefeated team who has been the best team on the field every game they've played.
That's not a Heisman year.
Yes, it is. On an undefeated team that wins your conference champion.
You want the team to get the Heisman? Fine. For a player.
Says you, by the way. The rest of the country says the winner of this game is winning the Heisman, and I agree with them. Even form that guy Mendoza.
They're dead wrong. All of them. Whatever. It should be Jeremiah Love.
Okay. All right. That who lost every big game they played and arguably doesn't belong to sniff the college football playoff.
You're dead wrong.
Goes to a great team. You agree with me the criteria is the team, too.
Part of the criteria is how good the team is. All right, so in a perfect world, we're going to see Texas Tech win. Notre Dame is going to get in over Miami.
Unlike you, I want to force the committee's hand to make a tough decision. And
the way to do that is BYU losing.
I thought maybe BYU losing and Duke winning, right?
BYU, okay. So because of that, Duke winning would give them decisions.
Correct, but Duke winning also like... Then you get the group of five conversation going and then Notre Dame and Miami.
Yeah, that's right. Because BYU wins, Notre Dame and Miami are both out.
I don't think so. I think Notre Dame gets in no matter what. But yeah, the toughest decision the committee will have to make is if Duke wins and Texas Tech beats BYU. Because do you put BYU in with the one loss in the regular season and the loss in the conference championship?
Can't punish them for playing extra.
And what do you do with the group of five? With Duke being a terrible conference champion winner.
You put injury at James Madison as long as they win tonight. How about that?
That's the avenue.
It'd be a fun, yeah, make it chaotic for the College Football Playoff Committee. I completely agree. Go download the ESPN South Florida app today. You can listen to myself and Mike Russo and Rizzo, theoretically speaking, our extensive high school coverage. You can download it anywhere and listen to Inter Miami English and Spanish tomorrow, 2:30. Inter Miami is fighting for the MLS Cup. So it should be a good one. We got full coverage, 5-hour pregame with Mike Rizzo. No, I'm just kidding. You got a little bit of a pregame. Yeah, it'll be good.
Colin is begging for me to miss the Ohio State game at 8 o'clock when the Inter Miami game post-game. Is at 2.
Mike's going to have Messi on at 10 p.m.
Do I need to bring our director of ops, Dave Druda, in here? I will.
If we
I'll
get
tell
Messi
on, you.
On at 10 p.m.
I'll tell on you, Colin.
Nonetheless, download the ESPN South Florida app and listen to all these great places. Your beat for South Florida sports, including the Florida Panthers, on their quest for a three-peat. Do it all in one spot. ESPN South Florida app. 5 and 5 coming up on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.